So I can't say how good I am, and no true Muslim will brag or even will even take a chance on saying he's good or he's halfway good or not. It's up to Allah, God, to be the judge, see? So I'm not going to say one thing about how good I am because I don't know. We never get good enough. I'm always striving to be right.
Heavyweight world champions, fast fists, and personality transcended sports and captivated the world. Muhammad Ali has sadly passed on at the age of 74. Ali suffered for years from Parkinson's disease, which ravaged his body but could never dim his larger-than-life presence. A towering figure in his prime, he still travelled and made appearances in his later years, despite being muted by the thousands of hits he took during his remarkable career. He was hospitalized in Phoenix, Arizona, with respiratory problems earlier this week, where he took his final breaths. Ali was a giant of his time, a furious and loud fighter whose influence was felt far beyond the ring. He engaged in some of the world's most magnificent and remarkable fights, even though his career was interrupted for more than 3 years when he refused to be drafted for military service during the Vietnam War.
What are we going to do? Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee.
Muhammad Ali's host to South Africa in 1993, Yusuf Tara Sidat, spoke to Radio Islam, where he said the occasion was nothing short of overwhelming for him and the man who brought the famous boxer to the country's shores.
My friend, Farooq Khan, who was a close associate of Muhammad Ali, even attended one of his weddings, and it was his, what you call it, dream to bring him to South Africa, and because he's a very close associate to myself, you know what I mean, and then he passed it on to me, so that's how we keep in contact with him.
And what year was Muhammad Ali in South Africa?
1993, Easter.
The things that you remember about his visit, the things he might have told you.
Well, it's amazing to see that, you know, first and foremost, when Mr. Farooq Khan came back from U.S. with the contract, he phoned me and told me, Yusuf, here's a contract, come to the airport, come pick it up and run with it. So I told him, don't talk nonsense, man. How can I host this man? This man is a giant man. I'm nothing compared to most of the other people. He reckoned, you don't tell me nothing. You make sure. Just come to the airport. And he nagged me, So I went to the airport. He gives me the document without telling me what's going on. It was absolutely, I couldn't take it, you know what I mean? How do you just host this man? Everywhere you get a statement visit, if you know what I mean, you know.
Obviously meeting someone of that stature, how did you feel? Were you nervous at first when you were going to pick him up?
Definitely, I was absolutely overwhelmed, but I wasn't nervous. I was overwhelmed, I was not nervous.
Can you remember the first thing he told you?
He said, Assalamu alaikum, brothers. That's all he does.
During his stay in South Africa, he met former President Nelson Mandela. Were you with him that time?
When he went to Comrade Sisulu's place and everybody else's place, like Jovo Slovo and everybody else, we were all together. But when he was going to see Madiba, it was a great, great moment for Madiba and to Muhammad Ali. So it was a one-on-one. Nobody else was there.
A furious and loud fighter whose influence was felt far beyond the ring. He engaged in some of the world's most iconic fights, even though his career was interrupted for more than 3 years when he refused to be drafted for military service during the Vietnam War.
Tell me, champ, would you have been prepared to go into the army if it hadn't been for the Vietnam War?
No, under no conditions do we take part in wars to take lives of other humans.
A title fight against Sonny Liston won him fame in 1964, as Ali was an underdog who became world heavyweight champion by pounding his rival to defeat in 6 rounds.
Another sneaky right hand. Just time he worked over the shoulder of Foreman.
What we can call a big upset in sports history. 2 days later, he shocked the US again by embracing the Nation of Islam, a religious group that seeks to improve life for blacks in the US, but has been criticized for black supremacist ideas. He also dropped what he called his slave name and became Muhammad Ali. Now, the conflict was broadly popular in the US at that time, and Ali was stripped of all his titles. He had his boxing license suspended and was found guilty of an offense at a 1967 trial. The US Supreme Court reversed the conviction only 4 years later.
Well, we had a lot of fun, but let's let the other boys have a chance and build some more contenders. After beating Zora Foley, you know, no one was left for me to fight. So I think even if I was still fighting, it would have been good for me to step aside for 2 years and let them fight it out to see who deserves the honor to fight me. Well, things make it better soon. If I do the shuffle, you might have to scuffle.
Now, back in the ring in 1970, Ali continued to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee against the likes of George Foreman and Joe Frazier. He lost the fight of the century to Frazier at Madison Square Garden after 15 rounds in 1971, but beat him back 4 years later in the capital of the Philippines, the so-called Thriller in Manila.
It will be a thriller and a chiller and a killer when I get the griller in Manila.
Now, despite his illness, Ali traveled the world to rapturous receptions, even as the once billowing voice was reduced to a whisper and was left to communicate with a wink or a weak smile. Revered and reviled by millions, Ali cut quite a figure in his prime, complete with an entourage nearly as colourful as he was urging him to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. He finished with a record of 56 wins and 5 losses with 37 knockouts and was the first man to win heavyweight titles 3 times.
And the world loved him. You know, you don't hear no... who talks bad about Ali? There's nothing to talk bad about. He loved everybody. Never meets a stranger, will do anything for you. And he's never... You know, I never seen him mad, honestly. You know, he's just a fabulous person, man.
From the day that he stepped into the yard at 3517 East Street, he knew he was different. And not only as a boxer, but he was different as a human being. This guy was probably one of the most, I mean, outrageous humanitarians you ever want to meet. We were in Portland, Oregon. He sat in the back of a limousine and signed autographs for over 4 hours. People were lined up coming out of buildings downtown, and he signed autographs for over 4 hours.
The most important thing about life is what's going to happen when you die. Are you going to go to heaven or hell? And that's eternity. How long is eternity? Let's imagine. Take the Sahara Desert. There's a lot of sand on the Sahara Desert, right? Then imagine that one grain of sand represents 1,000 years, and when you're in hell burning, when you die and go to hell, you're going to burn forever and ever, no end. How long is that? Give you an idea how long eternity is. Take the Sahara Desert, and I told you to wait 1,000 years, and every 1,000 years, I want you to pick up a grain of sand until the desert is empty. Okay, wait 1,000 years, pick up the first grain. Wait another 1,000 years before you get the next grain. Keep that up until there's no more sand in the desert. Whew, you know how long just the... So it just scares me to think that I'm going to die one day and go to hell. I'm on an airplane that might blow up. I'm always traveling. And to go to hell and God is going to judge my soul. The police, I might kill people. I might rob people. The authorities might not catch me. The FBI, Scotland Yard might not catch me, but when I die, somebody's watching me and keeping count, and I can't get away, and I'm gonna burn forever and ever, I'll go to heaven. So what am I gonna do when I'm through fighting? I only have 16 years to be productive, get myself ready to meet God and go to the best place. Does that make sense?
At a time when the darkness of apartheid enveloped dark-skinned people, Cassius Marcellus Clay had the greatest honor of becoming Muhammad Ali. He instigated a renewed confidence to confront the might of the white man. He raised our dignity and inspired all of us. He lived up to the most beautiful attributes of his names, Ali, meaning lofty and sublime. He was truly a prodigy of the greatest. May he be welcomed into the everlasting abode by a God of honor, chanting those famed words that mankind will remember him by. Ali, Ali, Ali. Meanwhile, back home, the Muslim Judicial Council has performed Salatul Janaza ala al-Ghaib, or funeral prayer, for the marhum Muhammad Ali, who has passed away at the age of 74. Now, this took place in Sharia Estate in Cape Town after Zuhr Salah, in order to make a concerted effort to honor what they've called a dynamic ambassador of Islam. He was a father, a son, a brother, a friend, and a hero. And as he quoted, "This life is not real. I conquered the world, and it did not bring me satisfaction. God gave me this illness to remind me that I'm not number one. He is." A poet, a champion, a legend. This is Muhammad Ibn reporting for Radio Islam News.
Gonna float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice.
فمن علي بذكر الصالحين ولا